Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
We're starting our sermon series, as Pastor Bob said, for Easter. And the name of the series is Easter People. And it's because the people that we're going to look at are all part of the resurrection story. You know, all of us have a story for our life, right? Y'all have a life story. And there are people that you've encountered throughout your life that are part of that story. There's all kinds of people. There's your children's teacher, the nail lady, the guy who fixes your car. I mean, all kinds of people that have come into your life for one reason or another, and they're part of your story. Well, the same thing is true for Jesus. There were people that had some sort of impact on his life, and not impact in that it changed things, but just they touched his life in one way or the other. And I know most of you have probably heard that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again. But have you ever read the whole story, the entire story, the story of Jesus? Well, it's found in all four of the Gospels. So they're in the New Testament of the Bible. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're all, I just like to encourage you guys to read the story of Jesus. Pick one of the Gospels and read it all the way through this month of March so that you can know Jesus's life story. Let me just pray for us before I begin. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for Jesus, and I thank you for everyone here today. Lord, I pray that your word will go forth through my mouth. I surrender everything to you, Lord. I surrender my mind, my will, my vocal cords, every part of my being, God. I surrender to you. Speak through me. Push me out of the way. Let everything that comes out today be from you, a word straight from you to all of our hearts at just the right place. Everything we need to hear, Lord, let it come from you, Father. Let it be all about you. We love you, Lord. We bless your holy name, and we thank you for your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today, we're going to look at our first Easter person, and his name is Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor over the area at the time when the Jewish leaders brought Jesus to be crucified. See, the deal is they didn't have the authority to kill anyone. But the Roman government did. And Pontius Pilate was the ruler at the time. And so open your Bibles to John. It's in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 18. And we're going to start there. And we're going to look at a conversation between Pontius Pilate and Jesus. And this was as the Jewish leaders had brought him before Pilate to see if he would sentence Jesus to death. And this is how the conversation went. We're going to start in John 18, 33. Are y'all there yet? I'll wait. It's also on the screen. It's 1833. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus says, "Is that your own idea, or did others talk to you about me?" And Pilate says, "Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you've done?" And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." And then Pilate says, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. In fact, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. And everyone on the side of truth listens to me." What is truth? And the way Pilate said it, it says Pilate retorted, "What's truth?" You know, and this is a really interesting and important exchange. See, Pilate was basically indifferent to Jesus. He didn't care one way or the other. The only thing that got his attention was when Jesus mentioned his kingdom and his servants. You see, Pilate was just trying to figure out what Jesus was up to. Was he about to start an insurrection, try to overthrow the Roman government? Pilate was just trying to gather information. And then Jesus said something very important. He said that he came to show what truth is, and anyone who's really looking for the truth will listen to him. And when Jesus said that, Pilate didn't get it. He just kind of popped off at Jesus and said, "What is truth? Like, what are you talking about? And you know, guys, that's an age-old question. Philosophers have been trying to answer the question of what is truth for centuries. It's because we're all looking for truth. We're all looking for truth. And the reason why is because what we think is true determines how we live our lives. What you believe is truth determines how you live your life. It determines how you handle relationships. It determines how you handle material things, your finances, and it determines your own moral code of conduct. Think about that. And what you believe determines how you live spiritually as well, which determines what happens after this life. We have conscious and subconscious beliefs, y'all. Let me just give you an example of a subconscious belief. How many in this room grew up or have told your children stranger danger? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Well, me too. And so one evening when I pulled up to church, right out here, there were these guys hanging out. Now, I never saw them before. I kind of know who hangs out around here more or less, but I'd never seen these guys before. It looked a little sketch. They were hanging out right here, literally right in front of the front door. So my subconscious belief system kicked in, and I pulled around to the other side of the building and came inside over here. What you believe determines how you behave. Think about it. And in this conversation that Jesus had with Pontius Pilate, Pilate was looking for the truth. Like, what's the truth of the situation? Why was everybody mad at Jesus? What did he do? And Jesus was telling Pilate that truth is bigger than a situation. Truth is both a who and a what. And anyone seeking real truth is only going to find it in Jesus. We're all living by some sort of truth. Think about what kind of truth you're living by. And we use that as a compass for our life. Like what you believe, you use it as a compass for your life. And the truth that we believe determines how we've been living. And Jesus is telling us here that he came to earth to show us what real truth is. And you know why? Because he knows what we forget. Jesus wants us to know the real truth because he knows there's another one. There's another one who's offering us a different truth, a different version of what truth is. And that's Satan. That's what that is. He's the enemy of your soul, and he wants to tear your life apart. That's a fact. And you know what? He uses lies to do it. John 8:44 tells us that Satan was a murderer from the start. There's no truth in him. All he does is lie. In fact, he's the father of all lies. Every single lie you've ever heard or spoken, Satan is the father of that. Jesus came to bring truth. He is truth. And he came to bring truth and everlasting life. Satan is a liar. And he came to trick you so that he can destroy you. And he's sneaky. He's very sneaky. We don't give him too much credit, but you need to know this. He's sneaky. And what he does is he doesn't offer you some crazy lie that you're not going to believe. No. He's sneaky. He'll offer you a sort of truth. A sort of truth. Something that looks true. Feels true. Like, this feels right. It must be true. Or even sounds true. And he does that because the devil knows that if he can get you just a little bit off of the truth of God, then that's going to take you down a path you'll have such a hard time coming back from. You know, think about when you're at the beach. When you're at the beach, splishy, splashy out in the water, having a great time, and then all of a sudden, what happens? You look up, and your stuff's way over there. You're far away from where you started. And you know what? You didn't even realize it was happening. You got swept up. Well, that's the way Satan works with his sort of truths. And he does it because he knows that if you believe his lies, you may very well end up denying God's truth altogether. And Romans chapter 1 tells us what happens when we do that. When we deny God's truth altogether, Romans 1, 18 says what happens. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. Satan offers you an alternate truth, one that fits your lifestyle, one that you get what you want. And if you fall for that, it leads to sin. Truth matters, y'all. It matters because it determines how we behave. And God's truth, it's going to protect you. The lies of the enemy will always hurt you. Think about this. How many times have you told either your child or your niece or some other child not to run out in the street when they're playing, right? Don't go run out in the street. How many times have you done that? And why do you do that? To protect them, right? You do it to protect them. Well, the same thing's true with God. He only wants what's best for you. And you know what? God knows everything. 1 John 3 tells us God knows everything. We don't know everything. We only know what happened in the past, and we know what's going on right now. But no, God knows everything. He sees the future. And he knows that believing the lies of the enemy will bring trauma, pain, loss. It'll bring destruction into your life. And that's exactly what Satan wants to happen. Remember, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy you. He is not your friend. You cannot believe anything he tells you. He is not your friend. And so he offers us sort of truths. They sound, feel true, but they're not. And they always are going to appeal to your senses. You know, we got senses, sight, sound, taste, smell, feel. They're going to appeal to your senses, particularly your feelings. And you know what's going on right now in the world? I'm about to expose some stuff, y'all. He is doing it right now in this world. And you know what it sounds like, his truth? It sounds like this evolving truth where there is no absolute truth. Truth is just how you feel in any given moment. And you've heard the lie. You may not realize it, but you've heard it. Live your truth. What's your truth? What's my truth? That's not my truth. That's the lie. That's the lie, y'all. We didn't even think about it. We got to think about this stuff. You live your truth. Live what makes you happy. This is nothing new. This is nothing new. He ain't got no new tricks. He did this to Eve in the Garden of Eden, y'all. He appealed to her senses, and he said, did God really say that? He appealed to her senses, and she ended up questioning God, and here we are. Sin entered the world. You know what? His sort of truths, in saying that there's no absolute truth, well, how do you explain death? If there's no absolute truth, how do you explain an absolute truth? You see how this works? So if you believe that there's no absolute truth, Romans 1:22 says it's foolishness. Because it's foolishness. It makes no sense. And not only that, it's extremely, extremely dangerous, especially for our children. Y'all, kids don't know what to believe. It's our job as adults to teach them the truth. Truth that grounds them, that gives them a course for their life. They can't be left to decide what they want. They don't even know what they want. That is a lie floating around the atmosphere right now. Oh, just let the children decide. Why in the world would you let your child decide what he wants for his life? Their brains aren't even formed until they're about 25 years old. Hello? This is what Satan wants. And he starts young. He's not going to wait till they're grown and then mess with them. Oh, no, no, no. He starts the minute life happens. And he uses sort of truths to tap into our feelings. He wants us to live from our feelings, y'all. Because here's the deal. If you live from your feelings, when you do hear the real truth of God, it's not going to appeal to you so much. That doesn't sound right. That's harsh. Come on, man. I'm telling y'all, we got to know this. I came up in here this morning to shake stuff up. That's what God told me to do. You cannot believe his sort of truth. They're lies. They appeal to your feelings. You can't live out of your feelings. If you live out of your feelings, when you hear God's truth, you're not going to want to have anything to do with it, because sometimes it doesn't make you feel good. So what is real truth? Well, it's not just a what. Truth is a who and a what. And Jesus is truth. Capital T, truth. And Jesus tried to tell Pilate that, but Pilate didn't get it. Truth is a who. Truth is a what. Jesus is truth. That sounds like a lot. So you know what? Let's walk through this together today. Let's walk through it together. Let's assume for a minute that Jesus is who he says he really is. Who is Jesus? Well, 1 John 14 says this: I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except they come through me. Everything I do and say are truth, and I bring life, and you can't get to God unless you go through me. And then John chapter 1 says this about Jesus: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. Now I'm going to stop right there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Jesus is the Word of God. That's what it's telling us. And then it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came to earth in the form of a man, right? We have seen the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. And watch this. He came full of grace, and he also came full of truth. Amen. Jesus has always existed. He is with God. He is God. And he came as a man so that he could teach us by example how to live in truth. That's the truth he came with. The grace he brings is that while we were still sinners, stuck in our mess, yes. Living our life however we wanted to, following our own truth, Jesus came as an atonement for our sin. That saving grace. Grace is simply the unmerited favor of God. And we need that grace. We need that grace because our sin separates us from God. It has to be atoned for. Sin is like a crime. Think of it like a crime. Well, when you commit a crime, there's a punishment, right? Whether it's a fine, a ticket, jail, whatever. You commit a crime, there's a punishment. Well, Jesus came to take the punishment for our sin. When we acknowledge him and accept him for who he is, and when we repent of our sin, I'm going to say it again. Repent. When we repent of our sin, repent's not, I'm sorry. No, repent is turning all the way around and going in a different direction. Not playing around with it. You literally get so convicted by the Holy Spirit, the grace of God that allows us to see in the mirror what we're doing. Repent. We repent. When we acknowledge and accept Jesus for who he is and we repent from our sin, submit our life to his leadership, that means, Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus steps up in our place before God and he pays our debt. He gives his life so we don't have to. Jesus is truth. He is life. He is God. And he came full of grace and truth. And you'll see this when you read about his life on earth. Read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Read one, read them all. These are historically accurate, y'all. And they prove that Jesus is real. Amen. He lived on earth. He died on the cross. There is indisputable scientific and physical evidence of that. And then when you read about his life in these Gospels, you'll see. You'll see what his life was. It was full of love, grace, and truth. Amen. Jesus healed the sick. He restored sight to the blind. He cast out tormenting spirits, and people got back in their right minds. That's his compassion and his love. He championed the marginalized. There's a lot of causes for this and for that and the other. Jesus championed the marginalized, the people that society rejected, the elderly, the weak, the young, children, women. He loved unconditionally and he cared unconditionally for the hurting people everywhere he went. So when you read about Jesus' life and you see who he really is, why in the world would anyone reject him? you know, I don't think people are rejecting Jesus. The problem is, and this is for some people, that Jesus isn't on earth in the flesh anymore. He's not here as a man like he was back with the disciples. So people don't physically see him, but what they do see is Christians. They see us. And too many times, y'all, the Jesus that a lot of us are representing doesn't look anything like the Jesus, the real Jesus. And you know what? I don't think we do that intentionally. I think we forget that we are ambassadors of Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:26, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. Y'all know what an ambassador is, right? An ambassador is someone that is sent from one country to a foreign country to represent their country over there, right? How are we representing Jesus? What we believe determines what we do in everything. And you know, one of the things that I've heard a lot from unbelievers is that, oh man, God's got all those rules. He's always mad about something. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that a lot. He's got all these rules. And you know what? I think that's because most of the time, people come into a church and they hear this, that, and the other. You can't do that. You can't do that. You shouldn't be wearing that. You shouldn't have your hair like that. You shouldn't be acting like that. Put your skirt down. Rules. We're so focused on hairstyles, worship styles, whether or not we should be watching The Chosen. All these rules, they don't mean anything, y'all. People are dying out there around us. What are we doing? Christians can get so focused on what people aren't doing that we miss our own issues. Ouch. And that's why Jesus went off on the Pharisees, y'all. Honestly, I can see how it happens. Look, ain't nobody going to judge nobody here. I can see how that happens. You know, we get saved. We receive the grace and the love and the mercy of Jesus. We get saved. We drop our sins at his feet. And we start reading the Bible. And we start praying. And we start changing. We start changing. And then you know what? Something happens. Sin bothers us. That's a good thing. Sin starts to bother us. So we want to share what Jesus did for us. But we got to be careful how we do it, y'all. We have to do it the way Jesus did. In love, full of grace, and don't leave out the truth. Because you know what? If we're not careful, we can end up speaking all truth with no grace. And we start judging people. Judgy. Judging this, judging that, judging each other, judging unbelievers, saying things like, you need to stop doing that. God's not okay with that. You're going to go to hell if you don't stop doing that. Y'all, we misrepresent Jesus when we do that. One of the most profound things that Pastor Bob said last week, I mean, it was like, whoa. We must weep for someone before we try to bring correction to them. If we don't do that, we can end up speaking the truth without love, without grace, and all they're going to hear is judgment. Judgment, legalism, religiosity. And they think that's how God is, so I don't want nothing to do with that. Truth without grace crushes people. It's justice without mercy, and that is not who God is. Now, on the other side of the coin, we got to be real careful when we hear a message of all grace and no truth. Because you know what? Listen to me, y'all. That's exactly how sometimes Satan slips in. And he twists the truth and makes it appeal to our senses. And you hear it. Even from Christians who say, oh, that's okay. God's not mad at you. He understands. He knows you're struggling. He's not judging you. He's got grace for that. Y'all, that's a message of all grace with no absolute truth. You're regurgitating Satan's lies. Come on, man. Did you know that? Because here's what happens. When people start believing that, we got to be real careful. When people believe that lie, because they're going to believe it. It appeals to their feelings. When they start believing that, when they encounter the real truth of God, what happens? They get offended. They get upset. And sometimes they turn their back on God altogether. Or they'll hear it, think, that sounds great, I'm going to do that. They reject the truth of God, keep on living the way they want, thinking it's okay, because, well, you know what, God's got grace for that. No, that's not true, y'all. That cheapens God's grace. That's the grace that the theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer describes as cheap grace. It's grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus incarnate. And friends, without Jesus, there is no grace. He came full of grace, but he also came full of truth. And here's the deal. When you have a real encounter with Jesus, you experience both grace and truth. And that will absolutely change your life. Absolutely. But here's the deal. I can't convince you of that. I can try. I can stand up here and preach my heart out. I can meet you one-on-one for coffee. We can have a chit-chat. I can pray for you, but I cannot convince you of that. You have to ultimately see it for yourself. Here's, man, hear this. You can either believe every single thing in this book. You can't cafeteria plan this, y'all. You can't pick and choose. This is the infallible, indisputable word of God, and you don't get to pick. You don't get to pick. It's not the taqueria. Okay? So you're either going to believe what the Bible says about Jesus, and you're going to accept him into your heart and into your life, or you can reject him altogether. But you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways, friend. His grace is not cheap. The grace of God is not cheap. In fact, it cost Jesus his life. It cost him his life. God sent Jesus into this world to free us from the penalty of our sin, which is death. Death to the life God planned for you now, and then spending an eternity absent from God. God loves you so much that he made a perfect plan to make sure you could be with him forever. He had a plan, but you have to accept the plan. You have to accept it. He isn't going to make you either. That's not how God works. He wants you to choose him. Choose him. So he gave you something that nothing else in his creation has. Free will. God gave you free will. You get to choose what you believe. Friends, choose wisely. Choose wisely. Because what you believe will determine how you live your life now and where you spend eternity. You know what? It doesn't matter why you came in here today. It doesn't matter what you thought about life before you came in. Maybe you haven't even given life much thought. Maybe you just kind of are living as things happen. Like you haven't really given it much thought. I don't know. But what I do know is that you being here in this house right now, that's not an accident. That's not an incident. God drew you here because he knows you've been searching for something. We're all searching for truth, something that can ground our lives. Something that we can use as a compass for how we're going to live out this life. We're all searching for something. And I think you're here today because you're looking for truth. And truth is Jesus. He's kind. He's loving. He's forgiving, compassionate. He's good. And everything he does is good. He's for you. Guys, Jesus is so for you. He has plans for your life that are amazing. And you don't have to take my word for it. Read about his life on earth. Go to the New Testament. Read any one of the four Gospels. And when you do that, read with an open mind. Read it with an open. Forget what you've heard. Forget what you people have said. Forget what religion has told you. Oh, please forget what religion has told you. And read it with an open mind. Because there's one thing I know about this book right here. His word is alive. And some of y'all in here know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Because you know what? You can read a passage of this Bible while you're going through something, and it'll speak to you in that particular situation. Then you can turn around later and read the exact same passage of Scripture, and it'll speak to that situation you're going through in a totally different way. The Word is alive. Jesus speaks through the Bible because He is the Word. That's the Word of God. And He's alive. You may not see Him in the flesh like the disciples did, no, but He's alive. And only the Bible can show you who He is. So open it up, read about Jesus, and then ask yourself this question. Could it really be true? Could what that book says about Jesus really be true? And I promise you, if you do that with an open mind and a sincere heart, your spirit's going to know the truth. You're going to know the truth. And you'll be set free from believing the lies of subjectivism, relativism, truth is whatever you want it to be. You'll be set free from that when you read the real truth. And you'll be set free from sin, from the sin that's got you bound up in chains. You know, unforgiveness is one of the biggest sins that keeps us in bondage. You don't think about that. But it does. It keeps you chained up. When we refuse to let go of hurts, whether you caused it or somebody else did it to you, when you refuse to forgive them and release them to God, that unforgiveness taints your life. And it comes out. It comes out in the way you view things. It comes out in how you treat others, how you even treat yourself, how you behave. Holding on to grudges, man, that's a heavy load, y'all. That's a heavy load, and we were never meant to bear that. Jesus came to give you truth so that you can be free from all that. The truth of Jesus sets you free. It sets you free from the sin of unforgiveness and all the other sin that has brought death to your life, death to your dreams. Sin that's affected you in so many ways, because you know what? It comes from Satan, and he came to steal, kill, and destroy. And he lies to us. He lies to us to get us to reject God. And when we do, we end up living a life far from the truth. The thing about grace is it truly is amazing. God has grace for everyone. Everyone in this room, everyone on this planet, God has grace. And that saving grace is what allows us to accept Jesus, the truth of Jesus, that saving grace. And then once we receive Jesus, God gives us grace when we sin to help us get back on course and live out a life that mirrors that of Jesus. That's sanctifying grace. It speaks truth to us. Grace and truth cannot be separated. They cannot be separated because Jesus is full of them both. And we need grace. We need grace to receive Jesus, to be forgiven of our sins, and then to live out the life walking with God. You have a choice today. You have a choice. God gave us free will. You can choose to believe your truth and keep living the way you always have. Make no mistake, when you reject God's truth, that's a choice. Don't expect grace on that. You rejected it. Ouch. You reject Jesus, you reject grace. He is grace. But you can accept the truth of Jesus and be set free. It's up to you. It's up to you. Will you bow your heads? Ooh, Lord, thank you for your word. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It is truth. It is life. And it is the way. Father, we love you so much. God, I pray right now in this moment that you just open up eyes so they can see the truth, so they will no longer be held captive by the sweet sounding lies of the enemy that lead us away from your truth. Father, right now, I know you're working in hearts and minds. I know you are, Lord. You are exposing the truth of the lies of the enemy, how they're not the truth. They're lies. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for exposing the lies of the enemy, Father, so that we can truly make the choice to follow you, to learn what the truth is, and to walk in that truth, Father. God, forgive us for the sin that so easily entangles us and leads us astray. And God, help us live out our lives in a way that honors you and blesses your heart and blesses others. We love you, Lord. We praise you just for who you are. You are mighty and mighty to save. In Jesus' name.